In the second part of verse 17, the Lord gave his assessment, and his was an accurate assessment. His was a true evaluation of the church there. He said, "And knowest not that thou wert wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" That seems to have been a church that would have started out so well, a church that would have gone on for a time with a good testimony. But it's a church that has reached the place where the Lord is no longer with them. They presume that the Lord is in their midst, that the Lord is one of their number. But in actual fact, the Lord had been shut out. The Lord was outside the door. And all the while they thought the Lord was amongst them, they're now faced with this solemn reality. The Lord is not there at all. In our text of Scripture, verse 20, it forms an appeal from the Lord. And the Lord is appealing to this church of the Laodiceans. And he is showing to them that he is outside the door. And he's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." And the Lord was appealing to them that they would realize their condition and they would open up the door and they would let him in. That's figurative language. That's giving us there an illustration. Them opening up the door. The door speaks of the place of entrance. And they were to open up the door, figuratively speaking, to let the Lord come in. And when you come through the door into any building, well, that's going to give you access to every part of that building. And they were going to, by doing this, give the Lord his rightful place. Open up the door and let the Lord come in. And I want to take these words this evening and apply them in the gospel. And we think of this door, not of the door of a church, but we think of it tonight as our heart's door. And the Lord would say to you tonight, if you're here in the gospel mission and you're not saved, the Lord would be saying to you, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." And those words tonight, they teach us a number of things about the Savior in relation to salvation. And I want us just to look at them very quickly together tonight. The first thing we have to notice here is the patience of the Savior. He says, "Behold, I stand." Isn't that amazing? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he's standing waiting. And he's waiting patiently. And he's there, if you like, at the door of the sinner's heart. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's showing to us that he's a patient God. He's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. He says, "Behold, I stand." You know, patience is a great virtue. Some of us lack patience, don't we? There's a little saying, and it says, "Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Never in a woman, but often in a man." Or maybe it's the other way around. But patience is a wonderful thing. And men do tend to lack patience, by the way. I can testify of that. But this is the Lord we're looking to tonight. And the Lord who's saying, "I stand at the door." And that's the door of your heart tonight. And dear unsaved soul, you have to realize that the Lord is not in your heart. That's what our brother was testifying about tonight. That for 50 years he was supposing the Lord to be there. And he had to come to that realization where the Lord was not in his heart. And that's the realization that you need to come to tonight, that in your natural condition, your heart's door is locked to the Lord. Your heart's door is bolted to the Savior. And every soul that enters into this world has a heart that is closed to the Savior. That's the dismal effect of the fall of man into sin. In Romans 8 and the verse 7, it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. And that's the natural state of man. The Lord is on the outside. The Lord is not in your heart tonight. And the hymn writer has perhaps got it right when we look at this world in which we live. And we can say, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. The door of your heart is shut. It's locked, it's bolted against the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think of that illustration of the door being locked? The door needing to be opened. My, there's many, an elderly person tonight, and they're in their own home, and because the darkness has come down, they've bolted the door. And they've maybe bolted it more than once, a number of bolts on the door. Maybe a security device or two, because they want to secure that door. They want to make sure that it's shut and it's secured against the burglar or against the one that would come against them. As you think of that tonight, that's the heart's door of the sinner against the Savior. They're shutting up their hearts to the Lord. There's many's a lock that the sinner puts on that door. You could think of the lock of ignorance. May that secures the door against Christ. If only you could see tonight the Savior with the eye of faith, and you could see the beauty and the majesty and the glory of the Lord, you would draw the bolt, you would let him in. If only tonight you could see the wrath of God which is to come. And that you need to flee from the wrath of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only refuge for your soul, you would draw the bolt. You would let him in tonight. But because of ignorance, the door's locked. You think as well of the bolt of unbelief. That's another bolt that's put into the door to shut out the Savior. And this is one of Satan's strongest locks. Unbelief. You think of how unbelief keeps the Savior out. The Lord said to those around him when he walked this earth, you will not come to me that you might have life. They failed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's pride. My, what a bolt that is in the door. Pride of man's heart. That'll bolt the door against Christ. You can be sure that will secure the door against the Savior coming into your heart, because the natural heart is a proud heart. And to let the Lord Jesus Christ in, it takes humility. Pride is something the Lord hates. Pride damned the devil and it will fill hell. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Is there another bolt in that heart's door tonight? The bolt of some besetting sin? A bosom sin that you're not prepared to let go of? And you know if you were to come to Christ and you were to accept him into your heart tonight, the sins would have to go and you would have to give it up. But there's some sin tonight that you're holding on to. That's going to bolt the door against Christ. Maybe it's the bolt of a false profession. Maybe there's somebody tonight and you're looking back to years ago when you made some kind of profession of faith. But the truth is, and you know the truth in your heart tonight, the root of the matter was not there at all. It was only a false profession, but you're holding on to it. May the more you hold on to a false profession, the more you bolt the door of your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just listing tonight some of the bolts that would be on the door of your heart to shut out the Savior. But here's the amazing thing. Behold, I stand at the door. Lord Jesus Christ is still there. He's patient. Now, if we put ourselves in the position, standing at the door, and the door seems to be locked against us, how long would we stand? It wouldn't be too long. It would soon be we would run out of patience and we would leave that door. We wouldn't stand there, but we see here the long suffering and the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, behold, I stand at the door. Maybe tonight, dear soul, he has stood at the door of your heart for many's a long day. Maybe he has stood at the door of your heart for even years. And oh, tonight, what patience, what long suffering, what mercy we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, I press upon you tonight. Don't presume upon God's patience. Don't presume upon God's mercy to continue, because there comes that time whenever God's mercy and God's patience will come to an end. But oh, tonight, are you conscious that the Lord is at the door? Behold, I stand at the door. It's God's patience with you. But there's something else we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ here, and that is the providence of the Savior. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is knocking upon the door of hearts. How does he do it? It's with the knock of providence. And the Lord can come across your earthly pathway, that your circumstances can take on something of a change. And you would have to see it's the providential hand of God. And he's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking tonight. Through the circumstances of your life, perhaps they take on a serious change. It may be a change that is an adverse change, some kind of trial that comes into your life. Maybe there's an accident that takes place. Is that the Lord knocking? Maybe it is the thought of a sickness that has come. Is that the Lord knocking? Maybe there's bereavement, the loss of a loved one. Is that the Lord knocking tonight? May the Lord can knock through circumstances. It's God's providential hand, and he's bringing you to think about your soul's eternal well-being. And the Lord is knocking tonight upon the door of your heart. It may be circumstances that you would say, well, they're a change for the better. And you see how the Lord has been merciful and gracious to you, and you have known of the goodness of the Lord, and the Lord has provided for you in a wonderful way, and you can look into your family and you can see God's mercy and God's blessing to your family, and through that the Lord's knocking. You would have to testify tonight, even though you're not saved, the Lord has been good to me. The Lord can knock tonight. With that providential hand, he can knock upon your heart's door through his word, the gospel. In mercy, God has brought you tonight again. He has brought you under the sound of his word. That's a privileged providence from the Lord. And maybe you could say, well, from my early days, I've known the mercy of God in this way. Maybe you're brought up in the Christian home. You've been sent faithfully to the children's meeting, to the Sabbath school. You've been brought along to God's house. You've been raised and nurtured in the gospel. You would have to say tonight, there was never a time in my life that I can remember when I didn't realize I needed to be saved. My, what providential mercy there is there. But the Lord be knocking. Knocking tonight on the door of your heart. Maybe it's a Christian witness. You've come into contact with a Christian. Maybe it's through your family circle, someone that's got saved. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a work colleague. And you've been brought into contact with the message of the gospel. Isn't it amazing how at times, just out of the blue, you seem to come across another Christian and they have another witness? someone pushes a gospel tract into your hand, there's the Lord knocking. And he's knocking upon the door of your heart. May the providential hand of the Lord, and I want you to think about that hand tonight, because that hand that's knocking is a nail-pierced hand. The Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the tree. The nails driven through his hands and feet. And when you think of that hand tonight, that's a hand of love that's knocking upon the door of your heart. You can see from the very passage that we have been reading tonight that as the Lord was speaking to the Laodiceans, and my, he was bringing to them a word of rebuke, but he said in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And the Lord's doing it out of love. And those nail-pierced hands remind us of his love. Because the Saviour was nailed to that tree and he poured out his precious blood unto death. And he would knock tonight with that nail-pierced hand of love. There's something else here. We can see not only the knocking in this verse, but we can see the voice. I want you to notice the voice of the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, the voice of the Lord. You go back to that elderly person who is shut into their home tonight and the doors are bolted. You go to their door and you knock it. You haven't a hope of getting in. Not a hope. But maybe you know that elderly person and you know they're there. You know they're on the other side of the door. But if you just knock, you haven't a chance of them opening it. But oh, if you call out, if you speak. Maybe you could say, it's me. And they recognize the familiar voice. And once they know your voice, my, you can hear the bolts being drawn. And very, in a moment of time, the door's going to be open and you'll be in. Because they know your voice. Now the Lord doesn't only knock with the hand of providence, but he speaks. The Lord speaks to us through his precious word. Have you heard the voice of God? It's not a literal voice that you hear, but it's the still small voice of God that speaks through the printed page. It speaks through the spoken word to our hearts. The Spirit of God applies the word to our hearts and we hear the voice of God. Do you recognize the voice tonight? The Lord said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And oh, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You look to the last verse of this chapter we have been reading from, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And oh, tonight we would plead with you if you say, yes, preacher, the Lord has been dealing with me. The Lord has been striving with me. I know he's at the door of my heart. I have heard him knocking. I have heard the voice of the Lord. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. But oh, that you would open the door. You would let him in tonight. You think of the patience of the Savior. The providence of the Savior, but notice thirdly the promise of the Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. There's the promise tonight. Would you open your door? Would you open your heart's door tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you accept him as your own and personal Savior? Because if you will just yield your heart to the Lord, he gives you this wonderful promise. I will come in. I will come in. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. The Lord will fulfill that promise to you. He wants you to take that step of faith. And now the Lord says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a blessed union. when you open up your heart to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, the Lord says, I will come in to him. And there's this union between the Savior and the sinner. He promises to come into her heart and to live within her heart. Now he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Know that that would be your testimony tonight. That even on this Friday evening of the gospel mission, it would be the night when you would open up your heart. Just in simple faith, accept him as your Lord and Savior. And I think about it tonight, the heart that was closed, the heart that was shutting out the Lord Jesus Christ, the heart that was locked and bolted against him is opened up and the Savior comes in. He purifies the heart. The heart that was a seedbed of all evil. By the heart that had harbored all of those sinful thoughts, the heart that Satan himself had held sway in, the Lord Jesus Christ comes in, and by the power of his precious blood, he cleanses that heart, and the blackest heart is made as white as snow. By the Lord purifies the heart, and he brings peace to the heart. There's a joy. There's a peace in believing. It's all contained in the promise of the Savior. I will come in to him. Know tonight that you would take the Lord at his word. And you would put the Lord to the test of his promise. And that needy soul tonight would accept the Savior. And you would find that the Lord will honor his word. And you'll know the peace of God coming. You'll know the burden being lifted. You'll know that you're at peace with God and you have the peace of God within your heart. Oh, that you would be persuaded tonight. Persuaded to open up your heart and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ then. One final thought tonight. That is the purpose of Christ. And you notice the end of the verse. I will come in to him, listen, and will sup with him, and he with me. Why is it that the Lord stands at the door of your heart? Why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ knocks upon the door of your heart? Why is it he speaks to your heart? Why is it he wants you to open up the door of your heart? Why does he want to come into your heart? He wants to sup with you. You with him. What does that mean to us tonight? Well, the word sup is the word from which we get the word supper. And the Greeks there, they had three meals in the day. Their first meal was really just a slice of bread. Their second meal would have been during their working hours, and even as we could relate to, that meal would be a hurried meal. Because generally there's a limit of time upon it and there's a work to be done. But the third meal of the day was the meal they called their supper. We think of supper as a cup of tea and toast before you go to bed. But the supper to the Greek was the main meal of the day. That's the meal whereby they had no limits. It was a feast. And the family would have been gathered. And there wasn't any hurry or any rush put upon it. They could take their time there together. They could enjoy their supper together. Speaks to us of fellowship, doesn't it? Speaks to us of communion together. That's what the Lord is saying here. That's what the Lord wants tonight. He wants to come into your heart. And he wants to sup with you. And you with him. That you can enjoy that blessed fellowship with the Savior. Yeah, it's an unbroken fellowship. It's not a hurried, a rushed fellowship. My, it's a feast. feast with the Lord. We could say, He brought me into His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Oh, tonight, do you see the blessing here of God's salvation? I have pleaded each night at the end of the gospel meeting that if you're not saved, you would come to Christ. And oh, on this final weeknight of the gospel mission, I urge upon you this evening, with an even greater emphasis tonight, don't go away without the Saviour. Don't go away without knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Don't go away tonight without opening up your heart and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. Tell me, what will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? For someday your soul will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? May God give you deciding grace tonight. Amen.